Hello and welcome to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, here with you every Tuesday at lunchtime to seek answers to questions large and small. And these days, there aren't any small questions. I am here today to talk with representatives from our island's version of Indivisible, which is a national organization. It's Indivisible Vashon. And they are here to talk with us about the organization's focus for 2020, which is how to get the democracy we deserve. I have two leaders of Indivisible Vashon here in the studio with me. They are Noah Roselander. Welcome, Noah.
Thank you.
And Kevin Jones. Welcome, Kevin.
Good morning.
Of course, my first question is, do we have the democracy we deserve? Have we gotten ourselves into this? And how?
Boy, I wish we did. Because our current situation has been described largely as and our current leadership has been described most often, I think, as a symptom of a democracy that we probably have lost in a sense.
Yeah, and so Indivisible Vashon is focusing on presumably restoring the democracy we dream of.
Well, I think Indivisible, and if you look at Indivisible's website, they have some very specific objectives. One is concern about our current administration's policies, and that the expectation, the reality, I think, that they're doing a lot of damage to things that we hold dear, and that we need to create a buffer to protect ourselves and those we care about against some of these policies, whether they be the environment, whether they be immigrants or other things that are important to us.
And I want to get more specific about those things. But first, I would like you to describe to our listeners who may not know, what is Indivisible Vashon and how do you interact with the national organization?
Good question. We actually, just coming up this weekend, we have the first ever gathering of Indivisibles across Washington State. And the Indivisible National, we are working closely with them to create the content and the training and things for that activity. There is a middle tier is an Indivisible group, which has leaders across the nation. I was talking to a woman from Troy, Michigan yesterday, for example. And we've had group meetings where I've had people from Miami and San Francisco and Detroit and New York City. So there's a network that is enabled by Indivisible, and National is there to help help to bring people together. And they also, by the way, have a book coming out, I think November 5th, the Democracy book. And it's really all about protecting this potentially fragile thing we have called our democracy, which we're so invested in wanting to protect and move in the direction we'd like it to move in.
Right, and this all begins after the 2016 election, and Indivisible fundamentally is an organization that enables small groups like ours to do the work to hold our members of Congress, our elected representatives, to account and to support our progressive values, and secondly, to go elect representatives who will support and who do support our progressive values.
Well, and before we scheduled this show today, you guys were kind enough to send me a list of aspirational ideas on which Indivisible Vashon is going to focus. Do those ideas and those aspirations come from the national organization? Are they shared with the national organization? If so, how?
These are not. although I mentioned I was talking to a woman from Troy, Michigan named Michelle, and she is very invested in creating the right kind of messages that represent our values. We're not trying to create our values. We have those, right? We're trying to say, how do we really articulate what those are? And so we just yesterday literally created an environment in which Indivisible members can come together and talk about our values. And some of the things, just for example, well, we talked a little bit about women's rights. And so, for example, we recognize women as self-deterministic, capable, and fully empowered members of our society who deserve equal pay for equal work, deserve full control of their reproductive capability, and they should be represented equally in government and business. So that maybe not will not maybe be the statement that we finally arrive at, but these are things that we think are important and that we believe that our government should recognize as important and that we should make sure that we have policies in place to achieve those outcomes. And largely, that's what we, I think, are striving for in Focus 2020, the democracy we deserve.
And this might be as good a place as any to just make the comment that we talk about, you know, quote unquote, our progressive values. But if you look at what those things are, these are things that are supported by a majority of Americans across all party lines. You know, a strong majority of Americans support paid maternity leave, government funding for health care. This is from a recent CNBC poll from March of this year. Medicare for all. These are things that citizens of our country want. And so we're calling them progressive values for whatever reason. That's the word we're using. But we're fighting for policies that will help Americans. And that's fundamentally what we're doing. And we are looking for representatives to elect representatives to office who will get up there and fight for us. And if they don't, we will stand up and hold them to account.
Let me ask a question about terminology, because we had a little discussion about that before we went on the air, too. The kind of politics that Indivisible Vashon supports are called progressive and liberal. How do you see those terms serving your success in this country when they may sometimes be used as ammunition by those folks who disagree with you?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think the reality is that whatever word you pick, including Democrat, will be used against us by an opposition that is looking to discredit anyone who is not part of their coalition. So I really don't know. You could pick a word no one's heard of yet, and next week it will also be discredited. So I don't know if there's a better word. I think we'll end up with the same result.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the politics that is aimed at serving humanity is called progressive. Like it's a new idea.
Well, it is certainly representative of progress, and it's representative of progress made over the centuries that this country's been in place. And where, you know, a country where all are created equal wasn't all, really, but now it is more. And ultimately, it should be even more than it is. So, it's important to realize that we are moving in a direction, and that's what I like to think is progressive: is that we continue to be on that path and not be embarrassed about it, and be able to stand up and say, "Yeah, this is us, and this is what we stand for."
The opposite's regressive.
good point.
Exactly.
So, I like progressive. I embrace it.
You know, I wonder, too, I'm looking at this wonderful list of values that you sent to me, integrity, being ready to resume, protecting our environment, moving forward on race relations, opportunities for all Americans, et cetera, et cetera. These are things that, to my mind, are American values. How do you see those have been eroded over the last 3 years, maybe more?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's one example. I really like a value that we like air that we cannot see and water that we can drink, right? And just the policies of rolling back emission controls on automobiles, telling California and the 13 or so other states who have adopted California's automobile emission standards that, no, it's not okay for you to do that. I think those are really fundamental attacks on this really critical fundamental value that we have about wanting to preserve our health and not die young. So I think there's just so many examples. For example, we talk about gun safety and how we see these incidents of gun violence where the dialogue all of a sudden turns to, it's a mental health problem. Well, why then did this administration allow people who are mentally ill to acquire weapons? So there definitely seems to be actions being taken that are very inconsistent with our values, and that's what we're all about, is correcting that.
Yeah, I almost drew a blank when you asked the question, because the list is so long. From the start of this administration to just proceed to dismantle everything that has been put in place environmentally, their constant effort to take healthcare away from Americans with no plan to replace it with anything, no solutions for affordable education, no attempt to ensure the integrity of our elections. I mean, it's almost comical or something, like if it was an evil plot in a movie, like there is nothing, no stone left unturned here on attempts one after another to basically take things away and not replace them and not solve any problems.
Isn't it kind of baffling how a lot of Americans can actually support that taking away of everything that's good for them?
It's kind of baffling, but it's not when you understand that we have the equivalent of state-owned media that lies to a large section of the population. And I remember the first time an acquaintance of mine said to me, for example, he said, you know, Barack Obama is on the board of GM. That's why he saved it. And I went, where did that come from? Right. And then you start to learn there's a whole other source of propaganda. And if that's what you hear and you have no reference, it's what you understand to be true. And so it's not that hard to get a large part of the population to believe something. And that's what we're facing.
So beyond Fox News, what media would you include in that group of propagandists?
Rush Limbaugh, a lot of talk show, conservative talk show radio. So I just almost finished watching the brainwashing of my dad. And the brainwashing of my dad, if you have not looked at it, talks about this migration, particularly of older, whiter males. I have my hand up for those who don't know.
You are a white male.
I am, and I am officially older.
Okay.
And, but the one example is a person who had to change their employment. They now have a 1.5-hour commute each way to their job, and they turn on the radio and they hear Rush Limbaugh. Mm. And the movie goes through the history of removing protections about balance and fairness in news media that allowed for not only consolidation of news like Murdoch's media empire, which contains Fox News, but also people like Rush Limbaugh. And they go into depth about the brainwashing. They literally, the brainwashing of my dad is the name of the movie, and the techniques and the tactics that are used. And it takes kindly elderly men and turns them into raving, crazy people. And they're depicting that. So we have this force in our world today.
So you're tracing that essentially back to the elimination of the fairness doctrine in
the fairness doctrine, thank you, is specifically one of the steps along the way. Yeah, it's not the only one, but that is one.
I'm wondering if you have any notion of the potential then for states to push back on federal rulings that are eroding the Endangered Species Act, health care, all the things that you mentioned. If the media is convincing the public that all these things are a good idea, what do you see as the potential for states to be the voices of reason?
That's a really great question and gives me an opportunity to mention something about our activism, which is we do work at the state and local level. And when you do that, you are talking about vote differences sometimes in the single digits. And so as an activist going out and deciding, okay, I'm going to knock on doors on a given Saturday, and it's a bit of a slog, and not that many people open their doors, but a few do. When you realize, for example, in the Kitsap, Emily Randall won by, I think, around 10 or 12 votes. That means someone's door you knocked on, and you told that person about Emily Randall, and you really ought to vote for her, and that person goes, well, I wasn't really paying attention, but okay. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what it takes. Like, and it's not like 50,000 votes, 100,000 votes. You're wondering if I knock on a door, does it matter? At the local level, it's 1, 2, 5, 10 votes. It really matters.
Yeah. And Susan, you moderated the post 2019 legislative session town hall. Mm-hmm. And all of the amazing successes that have occurred in terms of our values, right? Eileen Cody with healthcare. Senator Wynn with environment and climate provisions. So, you know, what we're talking about, as Noah says, is we are looking at local. We're starting this year. We are starting this year with exercising skills we've developed over the last 2 or 3 years now. In 2017, we turned our Senate blue by supporting Moncadingra. In 2018, we had Dr. Schreier now sitting in Dave Reichert's former seat. We helped build this blue wave. If we hadn't created the wave that took the House and turned it to Democratic control, think of all of the policies that would be moving forward now that we have otherwise been able to create an alternative plan, right, and an alternative vision for what the country can and should be.
And
so you're using the Washington State as an example. Noah?
Yeah. Oh, I just wanted to say we have a two-party system. I think maybe people know that. And so it's a very strange thing because we are progressive activists, but we are necessarily aligned with the Democratic Party because there's two parties. And the other party has ceased to be an honest partner or adversary even, where we could discuss different approaches to solutions and policies. Should we do healthcare this way? Should we do it that way? The reality is the Republicans in control of the Senate and the administration are working to destroy all of these things for all of us. They are, at this point, doing one thing, working to stay in power by taking large donations from rich donors, from the large banks, the insurance companies, et cetera. And they're working very hard to make sure the very rich stay very rich and the rest of us don't have solutions to our problems.
That's a huge, huge battle. And I appreciate your bringing up the point that we have had a two-party system. If indeed the Democrats win the upcoming election, and Democrats and progressives in other states turn their legislatures bluer, and the Republican Party starts to disintegrate, what do we have then? In other words, do we need a third party, and what's the right time to start pushing for that?
You know, there's an interesting organization called Brand New Congress. And Brand New Congress supports candidates who agree to the Brand New Congress platform, which is universal health care, common sense gun control, and they don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't matter. The idea is, let's ignore it, let's throw it away, be whatever you want to be, but these are our values. And I think that's a wonderful model.
I was just going to, I just wrote down the word values with a big arrow moving forward. I think that while a two-party system is an early reflection of our representative system of governance, which the founders didn't envision but got created literally within 4 to 8 years of the founding of the Republic. So in other words, there's forces that create that system. Should there be another party? Do parties get reinvented? My expectation is that they'll be reinventing, and they may adopt the same or choose a different label. But that's my expectation. I think the more important thing from my perspective is that we can't put this governance system on autopilot, right? There are tons and tons of forces. You mentioned that we have a huge challenge in front of us, but there's a huge number of us that really think along these lines. As Noah said, a lot of the things that we value aren't just our points of view. They're not just our coming up with crazy stuff in the corner of the room, right? These are things that people want. And the important thing is that if we need to recognize that this is a system in which we must participate, we must ask, we must tell people what it is we want, and we must support them as they move in that direction. And that's where the skill sets that we've developed in the last couple of years have proven that we can do this. And now is the time to go big, right? So we know that Vashon has tons of creativity and talent and dedication, and that's what we're going to be discussing at our Indivisible Vashon meeting tomorrow. We think we've got a framework to work within to make these things happen. But what we don't know is how powerful we can be. How effective can we be? So we really want to invite this conversation, not only about what we can do in our state. Well, first of all, we know on Vashon that there's going to be supporting a progressive. We're going to vote for the progressive candidate, right? Washington State is going to vote for the progressive candidate. So knocking on doors in Washington State is certainly going to help our state legislature, but it's not going to do anything for the federal level. But we got a ton of ideas about what we can do at the federal level. And if we are happy with the way things are going, we don't have to spend time doing that. If we're not happy with that, and I think most people are frustrated that they want to see change and they're not sure how to go about making that change occur, that's the conversation we're going to have tomorrow night at the library with their Indivisible Vashon meeting. And so that's what we really want to have this conversation turned into 30, 40 people sitting around the room saying, okay, how do we make this thing happen?
Just as a note, that's Wednesday, October 2nd. What time?
Doors open at 6:30.
At the Vashon Library.
At the Vashon Library. We get started at 7.
Indivisible Vashon will be crafting ways to create the democracy we deserve or dream of. I tend to go to follow the money. I'm a reporter. I know that in this capitalist society, money is power, and that is the battle that progressives are fighting against the oligarchs and the Republicans that are currently running our country and possibly the rest of the world. Without that kind of money, what kind of power do you have, really? Well, what's your big power?
Actually, we do have that kind of money. The reality is, and you can look at the Elizabeth Warren's campaign, Bernie Sanders' campaign, Barack Obama's campaign, people ponying up $5 a piece like crushes what the Koch brothers can spend, which is kind of amazing. But that's the one thing we have, numbers. We are the people. And it's a tough battle, and they are very shrewd, and they figured out, how do you game this thing we used to call democracy, right? And you can spend a small amount of money at a state level getting a judge elected, and you can do all these horrible things fairly easily because no one's got their eye on the ball. But we have numbers, and if everyone does something, we come out on top.
Isn't that the big if? I'm pushing here. What is that thing that everyone has to do?
And so we have a toolbox, and Noah and Suzanne, who are both co-leaders of our Building a Progressive Majority, have refined this toolbox over the course of 2 or 3 years. So we're not neophytes here at this point. But it involves, for example, there are simple things and effective things to do. Postcards to voters. If you spend an evening after dinner spending a couple hours watching television, there's probably going to be 20 minutes of commercials, and you could probably write 20 postcards. And you know what? That makes a difference. If you are willing to go out and knock on doors, like we talked about, and while Noah said, yes, not every door opens, but I can tell you that I talked to a woman on the Kitsap Peninsula named Jean, who is, like myself, Italian-American heritage. And she talked about her father, as a young girl in New York, would take her to the Statue of Liberty, and they would clean up the grounds and pick up trash. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why am I doing this? And her father said, who came from Italy, right? He had to leave the country for a variety of reasons. He said, this is our symbol. This is the country that has its arms open to us. And we are here. We need to support this system. It's so vital to our future and our survival. There are so many really deep connections to be made by talking to people and hearing their story.
And how do we enliven that spirit? What I'm trying to get you to say is get out and vote.
Right.
And while I'm moved by your story, Kevin, it's very wonderful. I can't believe that Jones is an Italian name.
Well, Manalia is my mother's side.
I see. Okay.
But the point I'd like to make here is it's not a if we can get people involved and if they will vote. That's what happened in 2018. Massive amounts of people said, I better do something. And they did, and they got out, and the number of people out canvassing in our state and across the country and the turnout was a record for a midterm election. So it's not, I don't know if it's going to happen, if we can get people to do it. They did it in 2018, and that force will be there in 2020. And I think it's incumbent on all of us to do something, because aside from policy, we have another little issue, which is we have now a documented corrupt person in the White House, criminally corrupt and unbalanced, right? So this is another big problem. And everyone needs to agree, I will do something. I won't be silent while this happens in our country. And that's the attitude I hope people will bring. They brought it in 2018. And everyone agree, you're going to do something 1 hour a week. You're going to canvass one weekend in November. That one thing, we need the big turnout.
Yep. And we'll get it. And here's what else we're talking about doing. We have people who are already planning to spend time out of state knocking on doors. And we know that people like Janie Starr has done this in the past, right? You don't have to leave Vashon. There are important races going on in important states across the country. That creates a campaign infrastructure that we can tie into. And that's the sort of strategic planning, and that's where we want to have this conversation as well.
Thank you, Kevin Jones. Thank you, Noah Roselander. We're out of time. You've been listening to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, here with you every Tuesday at lunchtime. And we've been talking with Kevin Jones and Noah Roselander of the Vashon chapter of Indivisible. And it is a national organization that is seeking to get us the democracy we hope for.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Thank you for being here, Kevin and Noah.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you, listeners. Have a great week.